Well, Senator Sinclair, thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
We just wrapped up week two of the legislative session last week, getting started on week three here, and some more, after week one was kind of ceremonial, more stuff started kind of making waves in week two as some more bills were introduced and legislation was talked about. Near the end of the week, the Republican plan started to really make some noise about a $750 tax credit per family. So I'll let you explain it a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that plan and what you think about it.
Sure, I'd love to talk about that. Essentially, what happened 2 years ago, a taxpayer trust fund was established, which essentially was overpayments coming into the state government from the taxpayers that didn't get budgeted for, that didn't need to go into the rainy day funds because those were full, and it set aside this money for the sole purpose of addressing property tax or other tax relief. And essentially what, at least in the Senate, I can't speak for the House, but what was introduced out of the Senate Republicans was a plan to allow for a tax credit on next year's filings for this current year, so that if you pay taxes in, you if you're a single person, $375, if you're a married couple, $750, a tax credit against what you owe. Now, if you don't owe anything, of course, you wouldn't be eligible for the credit. But if you owe taxes, you would be eligible to apply that credit to what you owe, essentially allowing for all of that money to get back out into the economy, into people's pockets where they can spend it best they know how.
And like you said, it's important to note it's a credit. The proposal is not a rebate. So that's not going to be a check in the mail. It would be something.
It is a credit. It is not a rebate. There will be no check in the mail. Primary purpose for that is that there are administrative costs that would reduce the amount going back out. This is the best way to directly impact people's pockets.
There's been a little bit of discussion, too. It's unclear whether this maybe conflicts with some of Governor Branstad's ideas. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, if there had been any more communication between the governor's office and the legislature, between the Republican parties, about what he needs for to accomplish some of his goals, too.
Sure, and that's not surprising, though. I'll be honest, I haven't spoken with the governor or his office since this proposal was rolled out yesterday. But suffice it to say, you know, I can get behind any proposal that takes this overpayment from the taxpayers and puts it back to them rather than just creating new ways to spend money at the state level and bloating government.
Another proposal that made a little bit of noise last week, I think it was a House proposal, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a Des Moines legislator proposed reducing the number of counties over the next 4 or 5 years from 99 to 50. You obviously were a county supervisor in a very rural county. You represent a number of rural counties as senator. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that proposal, if that were ever come to a vote.
Sure, that is a House proposal. It was, I can't tell you the gentleman's name who introduced that, but it was a House proposal. I am adamantly opposed to that. Now, a coordination, a consolidation, a combining, if you will, of individual services is a great idea among counties or counties and cities, but a consolidation of county government is a bad idea. We need to be able to be in touch with our locally elected officials, because that keeps them more accountable to the needs of the local people. And honestly, the demographics and the needs of one county are different than the demographics and needs of another county and should not be combined. I will work very hard to see that doesn't happen should it come up in the Senate.
And I know we here in Marion County have, like you said, consolidated services or share services. I'm sure that you're familiar with that, too, as being a Wayne County Board of Supervisor. And it sounds like you think that's a more appropriate response to some of the challenges that rural county faces.
Absolutely, and rural counties have been doing that since the option was first introduced with the possibility of the 2080 agreement. We consolidate on services such as transit. We consolidate 94 of the 99 counties, maybe 95 of the 99 counties, coordinate together for an information system in mental health. They coordinate, I believe all 99 counties coordinate together for services in the engineering office through the Service Bureau Association. There are coordination efforts going on every day. There are several counties that share engineers or share CPCs. They coordinate services to reduce the cost to the taxpayer, but it keeps the local elected official as local and as accountable to the individual as possible when we keep our counties separate.
All right, and Amy, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about anything else that has been going on in some of your maybe committee sessions or anything else that you wanted to highlight over the past week that you think the people of the Senate district should know.
Sure, I'd love to talk a little bit about education and education reform, if you don't mind me taking the moment to do that. I do serve on the Education Committee and the Education Appropriations Subcommittee, and between the two, I have three regularly scheduled meetings every week, and then add on to that how many ever subcommittees that I'm appointed to. So I'm spending a good deal of time dealing with education issues. I do want to say that the Senate passed out of committee this week an allowable growth for fiscal year 14 that begins July 1 of this year, and that'll be debated on the full Senate floor this week. It passed out this past week. Also, a property tax relief that is associated with that allowable growth, so that growth amount will not be placed on the backs of property taxpayers, but will be fully covered by the state. My biggest hesitation with that property tax relief is that it's a one-year deal. I would like to see it an ongoing process, so that if that allowable growth, you know, as the state approves allowable growth, that doesn't become, again, an unfunded mandate, if you will, to property taxpayers. That's some big stuff that's come out of the Senate this past week, and will go to the full Senate floor for debate this week.
And what was the allowable growth number, if you will?
The allowable growth number was 4%. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted. I was looking at a little less than that, just based on inflation. But it is our duty to let local school boards and local superintendents know what they can expect in their budgeting process, and it should have been handled last year. But we wanted to step up and get that out there so that it could be out for debate and for vote as soon as possible.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amy, and thanks for being here with us today.
Hey, I appreciate your time today, Aaron.